the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known to what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, Happy New Year. Thank you. Feliz Año Nuevo. Bonne année. Frohes Neues Jahr. And the hard one here, Maligayan Bagong Taon. That's from Philippines. That all means Happy New Year. And everybody around the world in hundreds of different languages in just a few hours will be wishing everybody a Happy New Year. But let us just ask ourselves, what do most people mean when they say Happy New Year? What are they exactly wishing? Well, without a doubt, they're wishing and saying, well, I'm wishing you a great new year, a year in which all your dreams and desires come true, a year that is free from illness, pain, trouble, and worry, a year in which everyone will smile at you, that you will make plenty of money and flourish in every possible way, and that somehow the tax man may forget about you. In short, that nothing unpleasant may happen to you in this new year. And I think that's what the world would consider to be a happy new year. But when you read about the lives of the saints, that's not how they saw it. In fact, if they had a year like that, they would actually be terrified. They would be afraid that God has somehow forgotten about them. They would be afraid that somehow they may have lost their salvation. In fact, St. Teresa of Avila, when she had an extended period of time without any challenges or difficulties to go through, she would turn to God in prayer and say, God, have I done something wrong? Why have you forgotten about me? So the saints saw it totally different. They saw challenges and difficulties as signs that God was favoring them, that God was smiling at them. I remember reading about the life of St. Teresa of Avila, and she was in the 1500s, and she was going around Europe revamping the Carmelite order and founding new convents and monasteries, and really evangelizing people as well as renewing the religious order. And as she was traveling along in a carriage, the carriage went over a really bad bump or a pothole or whatever, and she fell out of the top of the carriage into the mud. And she was quite a witty person, so she just said, Lord, you know, look at all I'm doing for you, and this is how you treat me? And he said back to her in her heart, well, this is how I treat my friends. And she said right away, well, no wonder you have so few of them. But a good year for a saint, really, was when they had to face many new challenges and difficulties, and then were able, with God's help, to conquer them all with faith, hope, and love. Now, why would this be? Well, because it's precisely only by going through trials and difficulties that we become holy. It's only by going through trials and difficulties with faith, hope, and love that we can be purified of our attachments to sins, that we can be made worthy of heaven, that we can atone for our past sins, that we gain great merit and therefore a greater degree of glory in heaven someday. And it's really very similar to what we experience in the physical, material world. No Olympic athlete would be able to break any records or reach his or her full potential if they only competed against high school students. No scientist could make new discoveries unless he or she were challenged by hundreds of various difficulties and complications and worked through them in their experiments. no leader of a country, no military leader, no leader in business would reach greatness, nor would we call them great, unless they faced and overcame great odds. In fact, in the Middle Ages, when it was a time of kings and queens and dukes and knights and nobles and all that whole social order in society, if a knight was given a very particularly dangerous job or task to do by a king, that was seen as a great honor because the king was putting great trust and responsibility into that knight. And it's really the same in the spiritual life. St. Rose of Lima, she's the patron saint for all of South America. And she lived in Peru in the late 1500s, and she was a great saint and mystic and had many encounters, experiences with Jesus. And she wrote about them. In one of them, she said this. She said, "Jesus, our Lord and Savior, lifted up his voice and said with incomparable majesty, 'Let all people know that grace comes after tribulation. Let them know that without the burden of afflictions, it is impossible to reach the heights of grace. Let them know that the gifts of grace increase as the struggles increase. Let people take care not to stray or be deceived. This is the only true stairway to paradise. Without the cross, they can find no other road to climb to heaven.'" And so Jesus is reminding St. Rose of Lima and reminding us that we can only be purified of our sinfulness, reach the kingdom of heaven, attain glory and great happiness for our souls one day by facing and going through many challenges, difficulties, troubles, and trials, but doing so with faith, hope, and love. So what is then, therefore, a good year for a Christian? If we mean a year without any troubles or trials, a year filled only with sunshine and pleasures, we would be wishing for someone to remain mediocre and weak in the spiritual life. We would be wishing them a very low place in the kingdom of heaven, even if they made it there by some miracle. No, a good year, new year for a Christian, is one where both joys and sorrows have helped them to love God a little bit more. A good year is one where we've learned to serve God and our neighbor better with greater love and charity. A good year is one in which we've turned every trial, every difficulty, every pain and trouble into opportunities to practice a deeper trust, deeper faith, deeper hope, and a greater love. Now, this is not always easy to do, so we can use all the help we can get. And so that is why I think the church begins the new year by dedicating the very first day to Mary as the Mother of God. The church is inviting us to accept Mary into our hearts and lives from the very first moment of the new year, to live this new year very close to the heart of Mary, and to really invite Mary into every aspect of our hearts and lives and ask her to gain for us in each circumstance the graces we need to go through them with a deeper faith, hope, and love. This is really an example that Jesus left us to follow. He also invited Mary and associated Mary into every major aspect of his life. Mary obviously was present at his Annunciation, where it was announced that he was coming into the world. Mary was there at his birth. She was there for his first public miracle. She was there at his crucifixion and death. She was there for his resurrection, and she was there at Pentecost when the church was born. So let us also resolve to follow that example to include Mary in each one of our days this coming new year. Let us pray the rosary daily from our heart. That's the way we can do it. And let families pray the rosary together, but really pausing to remember an event from the life of Jesus and Mary before each decade, and then asking the graces to imitate the example from that event in our own hearts and lives. In this way, the rosary becomes very relevant and a very personal prayer. And the rosary, because it includes meditations from the Bible, it is very scriptural. And we're simply repeating the words that the Archangel Gabriel spoke to Mary and the words that St. Elizabeth spoke to Mary after she was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we're just giving Mary the honor that Scripture gives her, and we're asking her to pray for us in our particular needs that day. The Rosary is over 800-year-old tradition in the Church, and countless saints have prayed the Rosary, gained great graces for their lives by asking the intercession of Mary. In fact, when Mary gave the Rosary to St. Dominic back in the 1200s and asked him to spread this devotion, she said this. She said to him, "I promise my special protection and greatest graces to those who will pray the Rosary. The Rosary will cause virtue and good works to flourish. It will obtain for souls the abundant mercy of God. It will withdraw the hearts of people from love of this world and its vanities, and it will lift them up to desire of eternal things. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means. The soul that recommends itself to me by the recitation of the Rosary shall not perish." And the Church has always taught, and saints have always said, that the greatest graces God gives to people are those who are close to his mother. And we see that being played out in Scripture, because under the cross of Jesus, only one disciple remained faithful. All the other disciples abandoned him and left him behind, but the disciple that chose to spend time with Mary and be with her, John, he remained faithful under the cross. And so Mary, it's a sign that Mary's help and intercession is invaluable in helping us to draw close to Christ and remain faithful to him in all our trials and difficulties. And so by all means, let us wish each other a happy new year. And I do wish everyone a very happy 2019. But to wish for a year with no trials or struggles would be really uncharitable and really unrealistic. For all of us, this new year, like every year, will have its share of struggles and joys and trials to overcome. But my wish for you is that each day during this new year, you will stay close to Mary by praying her rosary slowly from the heart, reflecting on the events of the life of Jesus and Mary from the Scriptures, which we call mysteries of the Rosary, and then seeking to imitate their actions and their attitudes. Then you will be able to turn every joyful moment and every difficult moment in this new year into opportunities to grow in faith, hope, and love, and in all the virtues. And then at the end of the year, you will be able to come before God with souls that are much, much more purified and clean, a greater interior peace and joy in your hearts, and your hands will be laden with good works, which will one day also bring you a greater reward in heaven for all eternity.